Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, I pray that we will model our lives according to this prayer. That Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we will seek your kingdom, God. That, Father God, that we would want, Lord God, your kingdom, Lord God, to be established in our hearts, Lord God. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that this morning, Lord God, that you will stir it up in our hearts, Lord God, to seek you first and to put you first, my Father. Father, this morning we declare, Lord God, that we love you and we are here for you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the work that you've already done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, band. What a beautiful day it is today. We're celebrating Mothers, which is amazing. We thank you. Thank you for raising us, actually. This has to come from a kid. I'm still young, very, very young. So I want to say thank you. Thank you very much for raising us. We really appreciate it. Even though sometimes we give you gray hairs, but we are children. So, church, this morning, I'm actually wanting to say something first. At our wedding, I remember the pastor was speaking to us, and he said, you know what? You must always be spontaneous. Don't lose the wonder of being spontaneous with your wife. So I was like, okay, in this week, I was like, okay, now I need to be spontaneous. And I said to my wife, I used some of Samson's pickup lines. And I said to my wife, babe, your hair is like the flock of goats. And she looks at me, and I'm expecting, like, wow, thank you, beautiful. And she's like, and I'm like, okay, no, that one didn't work. I'm like, your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. And she looks at me, like, and I'm like, you know what? You don't get it. It's okay. So this morning, I'm like, okay, I have to redeem myself. We're going to church. I have to redeem myself. And I say to her, love, you smell so good, like the book of Genesis. And she looks at me and she's like, thank you. And I'm like, she responds to that one, but not Lebanon. It's okay. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, church. I'm so excited for what God is doing. I believe that this is stirring in our hearts this morning, especially in my heart, because as I was preparing for the message, it's like I just got this sense that, you know, sometimes in life, we get into situations where the boat begins to, you feel it. The boat begins to rock. And I was just thinking, like, okay, Father, is this what you're wanting me to speak about? And so I titled the message of this morning, Let It Be Known. Let It Be Known. And I want to read from Hebrews 10, verse 30 to 39. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet in a little while, he who is coming will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the souls. Let it be known that we are not of those that draw back, that shrink back, but we are of those that believe. Church, we live in a world that's full of uncertainties. But we can take courage this morning knowing that our God is always certain and our God is not moved. Our God is certain and our God is not moved. He's not taken by surprise when our world seems to be crumbling down, when you have no idea of what is happening. We need to understand that God still has the whole world in his hands. He's got me and you, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. So you can sum up this whole message in a few words. Let it be known. Come what may, we will worship the Lord. We do not worship God according to our circumstances. We do not worship God according to how we feel. We worship God because he is good. He was good yesterday, he's good today, and he's still going to be good tomorrow. So our faith is not based on how I feel like today. Our faith is not based on what stands in my bank account, what stands next to me. No, my faith is based on God. And we should take courage knowing that, you know what, God says these very words in Hebrews 13, that he is never going to leave us, nor forsake us. So we must not cast away our confidence, but we must hold on to God. And so this morning, I'm wanting us to look at some heroes of the faith that when trouble came, they did not shrink back. They did not fall away to some foreign god. They did not look at their circumstances and worship God according to it. Let's read from Daniel 3, verse 1 to 12. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width was 60 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And the king Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, and the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried loud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, languages, that at the time you hear the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in the symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when the people, nations, languages fell down to worship the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, therefore a certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in the symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the fiery, of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." So word comes to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he has made a decree that I have set up this gold image and it should be worshipped. But these, and in order, like he gets a message that there are people that are not willing to bow down to what you are saying. They do not serve your gods. They do not do according to your word. So what happens in verse 13? King Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. King Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. And in life, I want to tell you, church, that you're gonna get moments where you are forced to bow to situations. Where you feel like you cannot do this, and you are forced to bow down, you look at the situation and you're saying to yourself, I need to bow and knee to this thing. And there's going to come a time where you need to decide, am I going to bow to this or am I going to worship God? Am I going to look at this thing in front of me? Am I going to look at this Goliath in front of me and worship this Goliath instead of worshiping the Lord Almighty? Is my confidence going to be taken away from me because of what I see and not believe what the word of the Lord is saying? Church, I feel like, you know, sometimes as the children of God, we are so moved by what is happening around us. And we are not steady because, like, we don't have that sure foundation that Christ is our Lord. And I believe that if the children of God would really understand what it means to be called a child of God, that they will not be moved. Because they're standing upon the solid rock, which is Christ. But right now, what I'm seeing is that, you know, we hear news and then it changes everything. That we forget about God. We forget about what the word of God is saying. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Let it be known that we will not worship. Look at the confidence of these guys. They know who their God is. And for them, it's simple to say, I am not going to bow down to this golden image. I am not going to bow down to this situation. I am going to worship God. And I love the fact that they say, you know what? Our God is able to deliver. Our God is able to deliver. Even if he doesn't deliver us, just let it be known that we will not bow a knee to this image. We will not bow a knee to our situation. So in your life, you look at your situation, you be like, Vyachevat, let it be known. I worship the Lord God Almighty. So come what may, I'm standing on Christ. I'm standing on Christ. I'm not going to be moved. Church, we should get excited when we read what the word of God says. We should be excited, not be like, oh, it says that. No, it's like it did say that. It's amazing what God is trying to tell us. And the children of God must wake up. In a sense, to live for the glory of God. Church, where are we standing? Tomorrow morning when you go back to work and you see your boss, what are you going to say? Are you going to say in your heart, let it be known. I know it's not looking lekker right now, but the Lord is good. Like Uwam Engels told us at the It's Time conference, he said, everything might be going wrong, but you say, but God. But God. So as I said, Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He was angry. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more. 7 times more. And he commanded that certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Church, it seems from time to time, I've been in situations where it feels like, you know what, situation just worsen and worsen and worsen. And then you see what King Nebuchadnezzar is trying to do. He's trying to intimidate them. He's trying to intimidate the people of God. Like, listen, heat it up. Heat it up. Give it more fire. Give it more fire. And the people of God are not moved. The people of God are still standing there and like, okay, you're going to throw us in there. It's okay. Go for it. They're not fighting against them. But what they're not doing is that they're not bowing a knee to their situation. They are just focused on God. They are just focused on God. King Nebuchadnezzar thought these guys would deny their faith because the fire is getting very hot. And I feel like most of the time that's us, church. We come to church, we are so excited. We worship the Lord. We go home, then we are faced with challenges. When we are at home, it's like we left our worship right here. We were singing, your praise will ever be on our lips. But at home, it's like, what's happening? And this morning, I want to say that you don't have to understand why things might not be going wrong in your life, but you should take courage and be confident in the God that can save you and the God that can deliver you. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king, look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Three men went into the midst of the fiery furnace. Who was in the fire with the people? The Son of God. He had the form of the Son of God. And I was speaking to David this week. I'm like, what do you think this means? And David just went like this, scratched a bit, got a bit of wisdom from the beard, and he's like, and David explained the scripture to me, and I got so excited, because that's what happens when you are cast into the fire. When you are thrown into the fire, you can expect God to be there with you. Because what did he say? The scripture that I started with, it's like, listen, I am with you. I am with you. And we sang that song from Kitty's church, and it should give us confidence that he still got us in his hands. You know, I think we should go back to when we got saved. We believed everything. We believed that God can save wherever you stand. We did believe that. And then you were singing like you were even like higher than the roof, jumping because of the joy of believing that God is good and God can save you. What has happened to that believing? What has happened to that faith where you just come and you say, you know what, God, I still believe your word as it is. I will not break the pulpit, Pastor T. What has happened to that confidence? Because I feel like, you know what, we become born again and we are excited about God. And we carry on with life. But sometimes it's like, you know, instead of increasing in God, we begin to decrease. We begin to decrease that we don't believe God as we used to believe him back then. Why is that? It's because we're looking at the golden image, the thing that is placed before us, and we're looking at the fire. And we're thinking, if we don't bow a knee to this, we're going to be cast into that. And we're forgetting about God. We're forgetting about what God can do. In verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of the fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted. Everybody say trust. Who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like this. There is no God that can deliver like this. An non-believer declaring, there is no God that can deliver like this. Why? Because the people of God were not moved. The people of God stood their ground in the midst of the fire. They stood their ground and they looked at the situation, and I love how they spoke to the king. They didn't go like, Vietjevat, near, I can't for you. No. They were just like, oh king, still with respect. A guy's trying to kill them, and they're like, oh king, just let it be known. Let it be known this morning. And church, that's in my heart this morning, that we look at still trusting God. And you still trust in God, and then God delivers you. And everybody knows what's happening, and God delivers you. Imagine that testimony, and you can say to the people, you know where I was, but God. And let it be known, church, we're going to be the church that is not going to fall away, a church that's not going to draw back. We're not going to cast our confidence away. And another story that I'm wanting to share this morning, and everybody knows this story, because sometimes everybody feels like this person. And this is the story of Job. Reason why I'm saying everybody knows this story is because, like, you know, when you're walking around in your house and you step, you hit your foot against the chair, what goes through your mind? Oh, I'm Job, because you're feeling that pain. You understand? And Uncle David said to me once, Moja, why do you have a small toe? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, it's to find furniture in the house. Amen, church. It's good to laugh. Okay, let's read from Job 1. There was a certain man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast at their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of fasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning to and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did this regularly. So we see that there's nothing wrong with Job. He's an upright man. He shuns evil. He's a man of great possessions. He's a family man. Everything is in order. Everything is in order. There's like nothing wrong. I mean, like, this guy's got it all. Okay? He's like, you know what? Let me just say this. He lives in Franschhoek. He lives in a mansion. He's got this and this and this. Life is going very well for this man. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." One day, I just want to hear God say, you know, "Have you considered that guy? He shuns evil. He's upright." Imagine God. It's like God is bragging about Job in this story. And it's like, this man, he shuns evil. He's good. He's amazing. And Satan's like, "But it's because your hand is upon him. Move away your hand and see what he's going to do to you. He's going to curse you to your face." And we know how the story goes. He's going to curse you to your face. I promise you. It's like, you know what? Satan is trying to reason with God. Like, oh my word, I don't know. Satan sometimes is weird, but it's like, you know what, ne? Remove that hedge around him and see what happens. And see what happens. And we know how the story of Job goes. He's busy sitting there. A man runs in and it's like, "This has happened. And this has happened, and this has happened, and this has happened." And I love what Scripture says. After all was taken, I want to read from Job 21, verse 21. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. When all was taken away, his confidence in God was not taken away. Job stood the test of time. And I love his response. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I want to read from verse 9 again. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" Scripture says this: in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Even he did not do as his wife told him. It's like, "Curse God so that you can die. You are in pain." He had boils all over his body. And I looked at pictures of boils. It is horrific. And he was scraping himself. He was scratching himself. But he did not curse God. His confidence was not taken away from him. In good times, in bad times, God is still good. When everything has been taken away, God is still good. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that, church? If all that you have right now was taken away from you, will you still worship God? Will you still love the Lord with the love that you have for him right now, when everything is gone? In closing, I want to read the scripture. Then I want to show, I want us to listen to a song. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 to 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. God has called you into this life, and God is the one that will be with you in time. Let's have a look at the video, if the guys have it at the back. Okay.
When my heart is torn asunder and my world just falls apart, Lord, you put me back together and lift me up to where you are. There is hope.
Oh,
Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you, God, that come what may, Lord Jesus, we can say, let it be known, that we will not fall away from the faith, Father. That, Jesus, that we will choose you, and we'll choose you above comfort, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that right now in this moment, Lord God, that you would look into our hearts, Lord God, and point out, Lord God, the things that are not pleasing to you, Father. Father, I pray, God, that we would walk out this place, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, that you are for us and not against us. This morning, if you need prayer, you feel like the Lord has spoken to you, that you've been facing many battles in your life and you just want somebody to pray with you, I want to invite you to come to the front so that we can pray with you. We are the body of Christ. Yes, Lord, we thank you this morning that you are faithful and that you are true in every season. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Please do enjoy a cup of coffee and tea in the foyer. If you need prayer, we are still here. Thank you. Blessings.